Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The stupid show, The View, is so bad now that the other day I was watching it and thinking to myself, you know what? They really need to bring Rosie O'Donnell back. That show is bad. Those people are bad.
That is former President Donald J. Trump delivering his monologue, getting big laughs at this really historic, classic Catholic fundraiser. New York City, an important venue and fundraiser that has traditionally featured these light roasts by the two major party nominees in all presidential election years. Obviously, somebody was missing, but here to talk about it is, and I'm so honored to have Monica Crowley here, was once the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under the Trump administration. You know her well from her famous podcast, as well as a political commentator, Fox News. I could go on and on. Monica, thank you for joining me this morning.
Oh, good morning, Don. It's so good to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. So, Monica, you were there last night, and I would love to hear, first of all, your dress was gorgeous. I retweeted, you know, the outfit you wore. I know you were psyched to be there. But it's so fun if we could just live vicariously through you, Monica, as far as being there with, you know, this great event on the inside. What are your takeaways from last night?
Well, you know, it was a fascinating night to be in the room. I was there last year, and I've been there in previous years, Don, where it's been an off-election year with no presidential candidate. So it's always really exciting when you have them in the room. And, of course, Kamala Harris did not show up last night, which was a huge mistake. I think it was a huge strategic mistake on her part and the part of her campaign. And, in fact, Jim Gaffigan, the comedian who was the entertainment of the evening, he just skewered her. And he actually talked about the self-inflicted murder of the Democrat Party by not showing up at the most important Catholic event of the year, with the cardinals sitting there and so many Catholic participants and a lot of Jewish participants as well. It's really a Catholic-based event, but it's Judeo-Christian in its principles and ethics. So she made a huge mistake by not showing up. And I think the last Democrat who didn't show up was Walter Mondale. back in the day, Don, and President Trump made a nice crack about that. He said, yeah, we know what happened to him in his presidential race. You know, President Trump was so self-effacing. Mm-hmm. He was funny. He was loose. The beautiful former First Lady Melania Trump was with him. And, you know, to me, the best joke that President Trump delivered was when he said, you know, I was told at this event, and he's, of course, been there a million times, and he talked about how his father used to bring him when he was a child to this event. But he said, you know, I was told I got to do a lot of self-deprecating jokes. And he said, but why should I when I'm getting hit all the time? very, very funny, loose. And look, I think President Trump, from a political standpoint, did himself a world of good because the Catholic vote is extremely important in this country, especially in the critical swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona. So I think from a political standpoint, it was a masterstroke on his part. And Kamala, I think she's running behind in this race now anyway, and she did not do herself any favors by not coming.
Yeah, it's interesting, Monica, because there was last week I had reported on that. It was an Arizona researcher at Christian University there saying 32 million Christians, including Catholics and churchgoers, are likely to stay home. Maybe they've lost the faith in our election integrity or something of that nature. I mean, does something like this that brings people together, lets people laugh, even like you said, I mean, he's self-deprecating, making jokes about himself, but they're all laughing together. I mean, there's Chuck Schumer right next to him, and he actually, in a gracious way, says, you know, he's actually a good guy. Does that bring people together and, I don't know, in a weird way, give people hope?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because this country is so divided, and everything is so polarized, John, and politics infects everything. You cannot watch an NFL game. You can't go to a movie. You can't turn on a radio station for music without getting some sort of political message. And I think that's really unhealthy for people, for American citizens, and I also think it's really unhealthy for the country. So an event like this, where you bring together both sides of the aisle and give them an opportunity to kind of roast each other in a good-natured kind of way, is a really important thing for the life of the country, especially during an election year when everything is so heightened. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a release valve for the country. People watching, the people in the room, the candidates themselves, it's like an escape hatch where you can let off a little steam, laugh, and then get back to business. That kind of unifying moment is really critical. And the fact that Kamala Harris did not show up, again, was a huge mistake, but it's also, I think, going to backfire more broadly, because people want to see that kind of moment because it's so rare. You know, she did submit a video with, you know, one of Molly Shannon, one of the former players on Saturday Night Live, playing her old Catholic girl kind of act. And I have to tell you, being in the room, it fell flat. It was just not appropriate. Any kind of way. So it was a good thing President Trump followed that and then brought the house down.
That was my next question to you, Monica, because I thought it just, I inferred from what I could see that it was like a cringy kind of a thing. And so I just wondered, to be in the room as you were, how it was actually received in real time. So that's, I think that's fascinating. And this is a room of people who are politicos, right, who are more astute than the average person of maybe the gravity of the situation, that she was not there.
Yeah, I think, and there were some people in the room who are Democrats, you know, this is a bipartisan event. I would say it felt to me like the room was about 70-30 pro-Trump, but there were some Kamala Harris and Democrats in there who, you know, were trying to cheer the video, but it really did fall flat. So again, politically very stupid of her not to come. And look, the reality is that the Democrats have all of Hollywood, right? The Democrats basically run the entertainment industry. There are plenty of comedic writers who could have written her a brilliant speech that would have gotten laughs from across the aisle. I was ready to laugh with her if she showed up, right? But she just couldn't do that. And I will say this, you know, to your point about between 30 and 40 million Christians will not vote in this election, that is also really politically not wise, okay? Because we are facing an existential threat by the forces within, represented by Kamala Harris, but it's bigger than her. It's the system, which is really fundamentally dark and evil, jailing your political opponents. You know, we're on a precipice of real tyranny in this country. And Christians better wake up before it's too late and get out and vote. You're not voting for Pope. You're not voting for Jesus. You're voting for somebody to restore the fundamental Judeo-Christian values of this country, you know, on which it's all based. Individual liberty, free market capitalism, all of these things are under direct assault by these forces within the country. And then you have external threats like China and Iran and Russia that would like to see them destroyed anyway. The only candidate who's going to bring the country back and make it great again is President Trump.
You know, Monica Crawley, in your podcast, you interview, you know, people at the highest levels, obviously, including former President Trump, who, you know, you worked for, as well as, I know, J.D. Vance, and then to Rob Schneider, all these different individuals. But in your career, I mean, just talking to people who are everyday working Americans who just want things to be better. For you, for your perspective, having worked in the previous Trump administration, what do you see that's different from then through now, because we've been through all of this. We've been through the pandemic. We've been through this administration. And then recently, these horrible storms. What do you see as you zoom out, Monica, and you look at voters of today versus even the so-called surprise? You and I weren't surprised with the 2016 election, but a lot of Americans were. But what do you see as a major difference?
Well, you know, in 2016, President Trump came on the scene out of nowhere, right? Here was a guy, the blue-collar billionaire out of New York City, who had never done any of this before. And nobody had seen or heard a candidate like this ever, because all of our presidential candidates came out of the political system in some way. They had been a governor, they had been a senator, they had been engaged in some way. And so for this man who is so charismatic and was a household name anyway from New York real estate and The Apprentice and all of the other stuff he was doing, to come out and then directly speak to the American people in the most brutally honest terms about the state of our country, nobody had ever seen or heard that before, John, right?
Yes.
So in his first, when he first came down the escalator, he was already talking about illegal immigration, a porous border, and he was saying they're sending murderers and rapists, and he got clobbered for that literally on day one. That message has stayed consistent with him, and he has been proven right on that and really everything else. So here's the difference. Back in 2016, voters had to take a huge leap of faith with him. Because, again, he had never done any political stuff before. Now he's seeking the highest office in the land. So they took a jump off the cliff, Thelma and Louise-like, and they said, well, let's hope he's actually going to be who he says he is, and he's going to deliver on his promises. And then over the next 4 years, he actually did. He delivered for the forgotten men and women by delivering a booming economy, an enforced border, law and order, and world peace. Peace through strength. He delivered for the American people. And so this time around, the American people know that he is good for his word. He will stand up and deliver on his promises. And what he has said is, everything I did in the first term, even despite all of these insane headwinds coming from the system, Russia hoax, two fake impeachments, being undermined from within, the imperial media attacking him every day, despite all of that, he really delivered a huge success for the American people. And what he is saying now is, you don't have to guess with me. Yeah. You saw it in the first 4 years. I'm going to do the exact same thing in the second term, only on steroids. And I think this time around, people understand that, Don, and their eyes are also open to the evils of the system and the left and the media. And they really understand now what is at stake.
Amen, sister. Monica Crowley, thank you so much for joining me again, and I hope we continue the conversation. Monica, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Don. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine. And you can follow her, obviously, on social media, Monica Crowley podcast as well, huge podcast. And you see, she's great. She's brilliant. She's, you know, she worked for the Treasury Department. You know what I mean? She's Rich Scioli would envy her math skills. You know what I'm saying here? But on top of it, she's gorgeous. So there's that.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
What's that?
Oh, sorry, Mary Catherine Gallagher. Mary Catherine Gallagher, it's so nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Mary Catherine. Right now I'm trying to record my speech for tonight's dinner.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just want to say that I'm Catholic, and tonight is one of the biggest dinners next to the Last Supper.
It is a very important dinner, and it's an important tradition that I'm so proud to be a part of.
So did you think that was funny? Did you think Kamala, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, was, I don't know, poking fun at Catholics or making jokes about Catholics? By the way, I see that my friend Rich Scioli is going to be on with Jimmy Fallon tomorrow night on Fox, the TV show. Obviously, Jimmy Fallon, you just heard his promo. He's here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT weeknights. But I want to hear Zioli and Fela. Did they write any of the jokes for
Good
Trump?
Question.
Right?
Yeah.
You think they did?
You want me to text Rich to see?
I just texted him.
Oh, did you? Okay.
That's how I knew he was on with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because every day.
So did he write the joke?
So he's not telling.
Oh, you know, come on, right?
He's like, must watch.
Yeah, you got to tune in.
Right? He's got to do a tease. I know. Every day I'm like, are you? Because I'll promote him or take it live.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, are you going to be on? Because sometimes I look up and there, because, you know, Dana Perino has like a secret crush.
Rich, give us some meat. Come on.
Yeah. So your thoughts on, was this a good move to have, you know, a former SNL character who plays a Catholic schoolgirl? And maybe, you know, I don't know if, I think my kids, teenagers, they would know who she is because they love all the old bits. But I think, is it so antiquated?
So Henry Mashett, he's a younger guy here, one of the producers on the Dom Show.
Did he know who she was?
No, well, not Mary Catherine, but it was referring to the Soaking Corks skit with Jimmy Fallon, which is a very famous skit from the early 2000s. And Henry goes, oh, that's like my mom's era. We don't watch SNL, talking about his generation. I guess it's like a mom's thing now, is like when you make references to the old skits.
Oh.
I know. They fall in so far, they've become so culturally relevant. I mean, when they first started, people were gathering around the TV in their dorm rooms to watch, but now kids are saying it's their mom's kind of humor because there's only nostalgic humor attached to it.
See, it's a mama-la thing. Maybe that's... maybe.
Sad to hear.
I don't know. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210. What does Josie in Bucks County think? Hey, Josie.
I was so offended, Dawn, you would not believe. Molly Shannon's character is completely built around mocking Catholic schoolgirls. And here she is on the biggest stage for Catholics, you know, once, whenever they hold the Al Smith dinner, and she's making fun of us.
Yeah.
Like, how much more? It was like putting the middle finger up to the entire room.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why would I go to your stupid dinner?
Yeah, exactly. It just was really, it just shows, I mean, you know, let's be honest, Kamala was not getting my vote to start with, but I just hope other Catholics who do lean that way could see through what exactly she thinks of us and our religion.
Are you making tea? Do you hear that, Dawn? It sounds like she's making tea in the background.
Oh, a little bit.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Or a whistling in the wind. I'm not sure. Maybe.
Sorry to interrupt there.
Maybe Josie.
I'm so sorry. I'm in my car.
Oh, that's
funny. Maybe a window slightly open. Dan thought you were making tea.
I didn't think it was. I am sorry about that.
No, you're good. No, great point.
I apologize. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks,
that's all
you
I
too.
To say.
Thanks, Josie. You as well. Have a blessed Friday. But I think she's, I've seen that going viral, people's reactions, you know, what was her speech, you know, how was it received? So you heard Monica Crowley, who was right there in the room, says with the crowd there, they're like, oh, you know, a little cringy. It's not funny. It was kind of stale. And then how are people receiving it in those viral clips? As people put the clips out, even the Harris camp puts out the clips, but people, you know, reacting to that going, eh. Was it funny? Or you make it's a charity event, and they've done this for years and years and years. So, and do you think that President Joe Biden should have been there? Now, obviously, I haven't heard much of that because, truthfully, it's between the candidates. So now that, and by the way, if let me tell you something, I mark my words, Joe Biden, and I'm going to give it till about next February. How many times have I said this, Dan? About next February, March-ish, there's going to come a point where somebody talks to Biden and Biden says, I still could have won it. Biden would have been there. President Biden, he would have been there. If he were the contender, he would have been there last night. I'm telling you. And
there's no doubt in my mind.
He would have had writers. Yeah. He would have been funny. He would have been charming, right? And and that's what, my takeaway from this is that they misplayed this. Sometimes I always say that, you know, the GOP gets played and the Democrats are always trying to be one step ahead. In this case, I think they were trying to be two steps ahead and they're tripping themselves. Mm-hmm. Because I think Biden at the end of the day is going to say, I could have won this. I could have, because people, they know Joe Biden. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is that even people who, you know, voted Biden-Harris think, I don't really know her. You know, it was too new, too they had like a month to deal with the whole thing.
What do you think the scene is behind the scenes with Biden and Kamala? Do you think he actually wants to be out there, you know, trying to support and bring a presidency to Kamala? Or do you think he's bitter about it? It's like, you know what? I want to see Trump win.
I think that he wants Democrats to win. But at the same time, I mean, obviously at his level, I mean, think about it. He's been president of the United States, vice president, senator. He's been the man for a very long time. And you can't help when you're at that level to feel disrespected.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, to feel so betrayed by a party that you feel you've given your life to them and done what they wanted you to do in moments that you didn't want to say certain things, right?
Yep.
And he towed the party line and was a loyal guy, and they threw that man under the bus.
And I mean, it opened up him not being there and him not being the candidate, opened him up for a lot of criticism, even from Jim Gaffigan. You heard Monica mention this. Take a listen.
Yeah, this has been an interesting presidential campaign. The Democrats have been telling us Trump's reelection is a threat to democracy. In fact, they were so concerned of this threat, they staged a coup, ousted their democratically elected incumbent, and installed Kamala Harris. In other words, all her dreams have come true. Really? It really makes you consider the power of prayer, right, Cardinal?
And he brings it back around to the fact, as a reminder, that it's a Catholic event. But I do think, you know, so many times I look at this and I say, this also is a sign of people running the campaign who don't have the wisdom and perspective. And it's part of it as well, I will say, this issue of ageism. So I think that for younger generations, they're so quick to say, well, Joe Biden or the old guy is not relevant, but he's really a silver fox. And I actually don't believe that Joe Biden was as mentally incapable like people said. When I watched the debate on the 27th, I wasn't surprised, because I think that, yes, he's an elderly gentleman who, under stress and maybe with lack of sleep later in the evening, his routine, you know, kind of ruined. Was he off of his game? Absolutely. But I actually think that even the Bret Baier question, when he says to Kamala Harris, well, why didn't you know that he was, you know, out of it or whatever? I actually think that he wasn't. I think that it's seriously a situation where, is he an elderly person? Yes, I do. I think he's an elderly person who acts like an elderly person. But when he gets really stressed out in on a national stage like this, when he's on a debate with Trump, who's like the king of debating, do I think that he had missteps? Sure, I do. But I don't believe that it had anything to do with his mental acuity. I have held firm on this. I told you before the June 27th debate, right? I said there's something more with this. And why are they doing a debate? Why are the Democrats pushing for this debate, which Trump said, fine, you want to do it in late June? We've never done this in the history of our nation, right? I mean, in a year and a half or whatever, we celebrate 250 years from the Declaration of Independence. We were having that debate earlier about, you know, how old is America actually? But you think about that. In about 250 years, nobody's ever done this with this early of a debate, right? So think about it. Why did they do that? I think it was by design. It had nothing to do with questions of his mental acuity. It had to do with the fact that they looked at the polls and they said, Biden is in trouble. And so we're going to switch it out. We're going to get somebody younger. And so their idiot, ageist views actually will turn out to be the misstep. That's what lost them the election, not Joe Biden. That's my take. Boom, there it is. Joe Biden, by the way, would love that take. Ha! Say, yeah, I could have won it. He'll be on the beach, right?
He's out there in Delaware listening right now. Oh, no, he's in
right?
Germany.
Right? Yeah, he's in. Yeah, and obviously history is being made as... Essentially, what they're doing out there is they're trying to shore up the support for Ukraine, because guess what? They know, for those people who want Ukraine to be NATO, which it's never going to happen, obviously, because Russia is never going to be a next door neighbor to NATO. But what Biden also wants to do is secure his legacy.
Get the hell off the beach.
And then, well, maybe he'll be in the islands. And then, maybe. the beach. I'll have to check in with him next February. I'll try to meet up with him in Delaware.
Hanging with Joe.
Mr. President, I've been saying for
a new series. Dawn hanging with Joe.
Dawn hanging with Joe. Not for nothing.
It's a new Dawn with Joe.
Not for nothing, you know, but come on. Come on already. Come on, Joe. What am I doing here? What am I talking about?
Kitchen magic.
Kitchen magic. You want a little magic? Magic at the beach? Magic in your kitchen? I spend way too much time in my kitchen, and we got, you know, people coming over. I'll be there all night tonight cooking up some good stuff, but maybe you want to think about a little magic for your kitchen, because seriously, I'll say, get out of my kitchen. It's my kitchen. And when it comes to my kitchen, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic, building that reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and such care. From custom cabinets to the countertops to the backsplashes to the storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades now, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation, kitchenmagic.com, and let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Well,
listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I don't know if this Neil Young can sing, but he does have a heart of gold.
I feel like he has to, right? I like what you did there.
Thank you for the...
Can he sing? It's the first question you got to ask him.
Can he sing? He can teach. He is the Republican candidate for Pennsylvania District 6 and a dedicated and one of the favorite public school teachers there for 22 years. Neil Young for Congress. Welcome back to the Dawn Show. Hey, you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Dawn. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I love the Heart of Gold. I love that Heart of Gold reference. That's awesome.
Can you sing, Neil?
It could jeopardize my campaign. So... Maybe at the victory party, you'll hear me sing "Old Man, Take a Look at My Life" or something.
I love it.
I just got to ask: is there any connection to the artist? Were you named after him? Uh-huh. Is there anything there?
So oddly enough, my father and mother are awesome, great, wonderful people, old leftover hippies, and so you would think I was named after him because my dad's a big fan. But I'm actually a junior. He was, I'm Neil Young Jr. My dad was Neil Young, so. Anytime I complain about, you know, getting, you know, grief or anything, my dad goes, you know, Neil, I grew up in the 70s. What do you think it was like for me?
So, I love
point.
It.
It's a great point from the dad.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've been on before. I know I'm still lobbying. I told when we were backstage, actually, with Donald Trump Jr., and we were waiting to go on, and I was telling everybody all about you, including Don Jr., and I said, but, you know, Dom Giordano, you know, is a one-time, you know, educator. Neil Young wants to drive his bus down. So we still got to set that up with a bus, right? Actual Neil Young bus.
Absolutely. We'll do that. And listen, there's a lot of important people in this whole process. I know that. But, we got a Neil Young bus because what a wonderful way to promote a teacher running to try to improve our public school system. Then have somebody allow us to use a bus. My wife is actually an art teacher. My sister's an artist, and they took, you know, a handful of people, and we've got the greatest campaign advertising moving billboard that's rolling around Chester County every single day. And we added a Blues Brothers style loudspeaker to the PA system to the outside. So and we've got this loop in like English and Spanish that's like, I don't know if it's convincing people to find out more about us or just brainwashing them into maybe, you know, going and voting. But it is, I will tell you this, it's effective. And if you got a chance to listen to some of the voicemails we get, they are wonderful. We love it. You know, everything from there to I'm trying to work. Can you please turn your PA system down in Westchester or something like that?
You know what it reminds me of is the Back to the Future scene where the mayor has the car with the speakers on top driving around the small town. Go vote
right,
for
yeah. I'm telling you, it was inspired by that Blues Brothers scene where they hook it to the top of the police car and they just ride around talking about their gig. Like that. that's what it was all about.
You know,
when you're fighting an uphill campaign,
yeah.
I'm fighting an uphill campaign. You've got to cut through the noise You know, oftentimes people may not want to talk about, the politics of it. You've just got to help people know that there are options and alternatives out there that exist. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want them to know.
Yeah, because you're running against, your opponent is Chrissy Houlihan. So you're running against an incumbent. And you are somebody, Neil Young, who you've talked about your support of protecting our girls with Title IX. And so how do you differ, let's just say, with regard to Title IX issues with your opponent?
Great question. And I mean, we're night and day. The challenge is that sometimes, the difference between what they say and what they do and how they vote is hugely problematic. Mm-hmm. That's all I think the American people want. Just stand on what you believe. Let's put all ideas out there and allow for the best ones to move forward. And so the problem is, this either gets buried or she won't talk about it. But it's imperative that we protect our girls in sports and in our classrooms. We spent 50 years doing this. And so I would, she voted against codifying, Roe v. Wade as meaning biological sex at birth. And so mm-hmm. here's somebody who not only will she not protect our girls on the soccer field, but she also wants to require them to serve on the battlefield. Right. Like, so she's multiple times introduced the requirement for our young girls to register for selective services in the name of equity or whatever the push is. But like, I've got an 11-year-old daughter and you're more interested in making sure that she serves in case there's a draft than you are about making sure that she doesn't have to step on the basketball court against a biological male. That's, to me, not only is I disagree with it, but more importantly than that, I believe the people that I'm seeking to represent, I believe they're with me on this and they disagree, because most, reasonable people would agree on that stance.
And for you, you talked, the times that we've talked, Neil, at some Trump Force 47, gatherings that I've attended and you've attended, you talked to me about the importance of having an educator like yourself, 22 years as a school teacher, to be a member of Congress, because you offer a unique perspective. Obviously, you are pro-educator. You've done it for, like you've said, you're from a family of educators, you yourself. But why do you think that's a selling point?
Well, I think whenever we're looking to solve problems, first we have to identify the problem. And I think everybody has a clear understanding that we've never spent more on our public education system. I think in Chester County, we're nearing $24,000 per year per pupil. So we've never spent more and we've never gotten less. Nearly all of the schools are regressing, not only as it relates to their past performance, but also to their performance around the world. And so that's the problem. The problem is our system of education is failing. And that doesn't bring me any joy at all to say. I mean, I've spent 22 years in the classroom doing it. Mm-hmm. I've been part of education initiatives around the world. I was in Afghanistan in 2007 when 500,000 girls flooded back into the school system that unfortunately, didn't exist. And so I played a very small role in that. I've given my life to believing that education is the great equalizer and brings about that opportunity and pursuit of happiness that our founders were always seeking for us. So the question is, how do we get to the place of, fixing it? Well, without a doubt, we can't have people who have never been, or in this case, been in the classroom for 9 months. We have to have people who are at the table who really understand what's going on and are not, bought, paid for, whatever you want to say, are not beholden to special interests that are keeping our kids from getting meaningful, quality, specialized education. And so you can't solve the problem without the teachers who have been in the trenches and who know what's really going on, the low standards, the push for equity to replace excellence. Because I believe firmly that if our schools pursue anything besides excellence, we are doing a disservice to our kids and doing a disservice to our future generations. Because if we pursue excellence, then equity will follow, because it doesn't matter what color you are, what gender you are, all humans are inclined to pursue excellence. And that's what I want to see. I mean, I want to see all these other problems solved. She's voted against, securing our border. She's voted against, American energy. She's voted to restrict American energy. My goodness, she co-sponsored a bill to end qualified immunity for police officers. So people want safe communities. People want safe borders. People want to reduce inflation. People don't want to spend all their money on gas and groceries. And the problem is, is that that's exactly who she represents. And we need, you know, we need different answers to that, because even if we solve all those things, which would be great, if we elect, Donald Trump, if we gain majorities in the Senate and House, but if we pass it on to the next generation, who I'm telling you, the truth is not only are standards low, but they're being taught to hate their country. So they're being taught that, you know, that we live on stolen land. They're being taught that capitalism exploits workers. They're being, taught that we're systemically racist. All they're doing is dividing our young people. And so if we solve all the rest of the problems and then turn it over to this generation, we will have fought in vain.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, I will say, as far as your opponent, Chrissy Houlihan, she's obviously a Pennsylvania Democrat, one of 13 lawmakers on that so-called bipartisan task force investigating the July 13th assassination attempt on former President Trump. And she even acknowledged, you know, these enormous gaps in communication and all of that. When you look at the job she's done, whether it's not on this bipartisan task force, her work as far as talking about Title IX, border security, all of that, where do you see yourself fitting in a very different manner as far as your philosophy versus hers?
That's a great question. Yesterday, I was actually at a chamber event in Southern Chester County, and most of the candidates running, you know, there were present. And, I had opportunity to hear, you know, she was there and she spoke. And I think one of the, you know, I'm sure she has a busy schedule, but the truth is, you know, she spoke and then, you know, she kind of left before she was able to answer some questions. But one of the questions that was asked was about this idea of bipartisanship. They often use this word, and I questioned the idea. Of course you want to be bipartisan, because that's what oftentimes, you know, brings about, you know, to some degree, resolution. But if what we're talking about when we talk about bipartisanship is that the left and the right come together to make an agreement, and out of that agreement comes some thousand page bill that people have, you know, that lawmakers have a weekend to read and then vote on. Well, I question whether or not that's serving the American people, or is that serving the best interests of those, of our elected leaders? Because if you pass a 1,000-page bill and everybody in that, you know, everybody who's, you know, in Congress gets a little something out of it that they can go home and, you know, and take to their constituents, we never ask the question, but who's working for us? And so where I'm different is that bipartisanship is important, but you have to have somebody in there that you trust, number one, knows you, and number two, has the character to say, there is a line. I mean, I will not, I will not cross a line of betraying my values and beliefs for the sake of bipartisanship. Sometimes it's more important to stand up and say, I will not go along with what is being proposed in this piece of legislation, and be the fly in the ointment if you have to, but stand on the values and the morals and the principles that got you elected there in the first place.
You know, Neil, you and I talked about this, and at the time, the first time I met you, I said, well, are you almost tenured? As you know, you've been a public school social studies teacher, you have a wife, you have a whole bunch of kids, you're a dad, you know what I mean? And so with this, so let's say you go to Congress, do you lose some tenure or something with being a teacher?
There's a lot of questions. I guess those will be for after the election questions. You try to put everything in place, to ensure. And that's a conversation, you know, I'll have with my school district. But it's also a risk I'm willing to take. Yes, I'm tenured. You know, I've been there 22 years. I've served, satisfactorily, mm-hmm. And in a distinguished manner for that long. But I can't, you know, and I guess theoretically I could have spent the last 8 years, of my career, held on, got my pension and moved on, but I couldn't live with myself to do that, with that. So I've got two boys in college. I've got two kids in private school. I'm just like everybody else. I've got mm-hmm. expenses. I'm looking at my, I'm going sometimes to Aldi's and sometimes to Walmart. Well, my wife helps out with that as well.
We all love
Aldi. Online grocery. You know what's great? You know what was incredible? My wife texted me the other day. She's like, can you pick a grocery run up at at Walmart, you know, and you go into those like lines. And
yes.
So, it was awesome pulling up in the bus at Walmart with, you know, and I'm like,
wait a minute.
Can you put those in the back?
Wait a minute. So you pull up to the Walmart and you get the huge bus with the Neil Young on the side, right? And the loudspeakers. Yes. And then she's like, hey, honey, can you pick up some, whatever, milk and bananas, whatever?
You believe in progress. Re-elect Mayor Red Thomas. Progress is his middle name.
Yes.
So now you go in. Yes. What's the reaction?
Well, first off, all I could think about was back when Clinton called those people bastards of deplorables. And I'm thinking, man, if you think they're deplorable people, you're creating a whole lot more of them, because this is where people are shopping these days. Yeah. We're trying to find the best deals. But I didn't go in because, like, you do curbside pickup. And so I just pulled the bus up into a parking spot, and then I had to, like, put it in my phone, like, what the number was. And then some guy comes out and hands me through the window. Like, it was only, like, two little bags. He hands me through that little bus window.
Well, Neil Young, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I'm used to the looks at this point. But that's okay.
No, you're so much fun, and we can throw anything at you, and you're just a great sport as well. I hope you come back, and we do it. You know, we do it in person. We get you to bring the bus here, and you know, yeah, go on the Dom show, because I promise that. Two educators just talking about fixing, you know, really fixing our schools. There are so many issues that we've talked about What's that?
So it'll be a great connect to educators, yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Maybe you can hop on. Well, you can hop on and we'll broadcast from the bus.
Oh my
gosh.
We'll
just roll around, right? Like, you know, there's some seating in the back. I got a couch and some chairs in the back.
Oh, wow.
Of the bus. We'll just do it right there. We'll set it up. I don't know. There's probably logistics that have to be dealt with that, but that would be a blast.
Well, I'm thinking about, I mean, if Greg's listening, we have the capability to tether it through, you know, satellites or cell connections. And I don't know. It sounds like something we couldn't get going.
That'd be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Get Greg Stalker on that, please.
On the road again. Neil Young, thank you so much. You're the best. And we'll continue the conversation, and we'll all get on board the bus. Thank you, Neil.
I appreciate it, Dawn. You're the best. Thank you very much. See ya.
And Neil, you can check out, he has a website, neilyoung24.com, so you can learn more about him. And when you look at the picture, he's very youthful. His last name's Young. But when you first meet him, you're like, how does this guy have a wife and four kids and he's been a teacher for 22? Because he looks like he's 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Quite the opposite of how Neil Young, the singer, looks.
It's a sin. So your thoughts, 855-839-1210. We got to button up some. We got to give you some updates on some breaking news. We've got some Trump news. So just following up for you, as I always do, North Penn School District, there was an action meeting, about an hour taking testimony, and obviously grappling with the Title IX rules, the new rules that President Joe Biden, via executive order, signed into action. And parents on both sides, it looks like, testifying, talking about Title IX, but also talking about inclusion and how people, you know, can they go in a bathroom that they identify with or that's aligned with how their birth gender, if you will. So I know Dan had grabbed a little bit of that testimony that happened last night, as people had, you know, timed testimony that they could give on both sides of the issue.
Sorry about that, Dawn. I am Paul.
Welcome to students from Knapp and Pendale and the high school. And I visited the forum here 1 month ago in support of the inclusion of gender and gender identity in the North Penn discrimination policy. Because as a mom of a transgender student, I think it's important to hold students and staff accountable to the ideals of equity and diversity. Unfortunately, just in the last week, my child was harassed due to gender by a North Penn employee at the school. This individual said gross and derogatory things to my child. They wrongly accused them of inappropriate behavior just because of the way that they looked. This should never happen to anyone, especially not someone who's supposed to be a trusted adult in our schools. This had a very bad impact on my child's mental health.
So first, I'm so sorry to hear that that happened. I don't know how her child looked, so I have no idea what's going on there. But these are, you know, these are some of the issues, you know, that parents deal with. Their child comes home, says, and it sounds like good communication. Whatever went on there, whatever the final judgment is as a mom, I'm going to stand up for my kid. And so, you know, you have the biggest takeaway about these school districts, North Penn included. These are parents who are passionate about their children, their children's education. A lot of these parents moved to this area because of the school district, because it's highly rated. So they found the school district first, and then they chose a house in that perimeter. That's what's going on here. I know so many parents in this particular school district who have said, please protect the girls. There were many testifying, talking about safety and thinking about, you know, is my child safe? Is my daughter safe? Is she going to have to change in front of a boy because of this policy signed into law by Joe Biden? Others that we've heard from that have said, you know, not for nothing, but when you look at the per student cost, what is it really from the federal government? Do we say, and this was Riley Gaines, what she said, and I think it was eye-opening. She said, Riley Gaines' advice, she said, call their bluff. Say, no, we're going to vote that we're not going to have biological boys dressing in the same locker room as a girl, so we're going to call your bluff. No, if you want to deny us the federal dollars, then you go for it. You do that. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to do it. They don't want the battle. And this is in the courts as we move through. So a very passionate but polite, from what I see and I've gone through, is about an hour-long meeting. Just wanted to bring you the latest. Just, these things go late into the night, too. Thing didn't start till like 7:30, quarter of 8. Oy. You know, on a school night, and you've been
up. Thursday night football, a great game last night.
I know.
A horrible game.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's so boring. But we can. I just want to give you that little taste of, you know, the follow-up. Caring, loving parents on all different sides, and some of them just advocating for their kid, not even necessarily one policy or the other. And so that's important to respect them for their opinions, but I sure hope that they do the right thing, because this policy, at the end of the day, has a huge impact on girls' sports and just girls and women in general, right, as far as your future goes. We got to get to Dom Giordano, but I wanted to give you that North Penn update from North Penn School District. I hope you have a blessed Friday. Go Eagles! I think we're going to win Sunday. Dom Giordano in the house. Hey, Dom.
Hey, thanks, Dawn. Stuff that's just breaking. Henry's cutting it up. Is a Bob Casey ad in which he says he differs with Biden on fracking. And then, that's one thing, but he jumps to say he agrees with Trump on trade. McCormick people all over it. Nationally people all over it. It's a warning sign for Harris here in Pennsylvania, and a national survey that asked men, because manhood is on the line apparently in this election, questions like, is it fine for men under 30 to care about fashion? I say yes, but I'll give you what they say about it.
Dom Giordano, our resident fashionista, we'll weigh in. Dom Giordano Show is right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.